Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father in heaven. Amen. Anybody ever thought about why they live where they live? Why you pick a certain state? I know many folks in Texas, well, you're either born here or you say, well, I know why I live in Texas, because it's Texas, right? Well, every state seems to have its theme, you know, and a motto. Something that maybe makes people want to come there and visit or characterizes who they are. I know the joke when I was in high school, we always used to like to make fun of Oklahoma. So we picked on their state motto that, you know, what is it about a state that the best thing you can say about them is that, hey, Oklahoma, it's okay. Boy, we're a tough crowd this morning, aren't we? We're a really tough crowd, yes. Yeah, Oklahoma, it's okay. Well, you know, it's okay. I spent some time in Missouri. Both my kids were born in Missouri. The first time I ever preached this text about Nicodemus, I was living in Missouri. It was in Peavely, Missouri, at Zion Lutheran Church. And I remember my initial illustration was really good. Because Missouri, their motto, does anybody know the motto for Missouri? It's the show me state. Exactly. Prove it to me. Yeah, show me state. Nicodemus is a Missourian. What's the problem with being a Missourian, though, when it comes to the stuff of God? Doesn't always work that way. You can't necessarily prove God or disprove God. God is. Our logic, well, yes, when we look around in the world, when we see the various evidence, when we see the things of the world displayed around us, God's fingerprint is all over the place. So why doesn't everybody see God all over the place? Evidence of Him. Well, the thing is our logic is messed up. We don't always see the whole picture, and we don't always give the best analysis of the picture that we see. So sometimes that whole, here, show it to me, prove it to me, is not the best answer, and particularly when it comes to the stuff of faith. Nicodemus had to learn that. We're going to take a look at our gospel text for today. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, okay, we're going to stop right there for just a moment. A lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the scribes, the chief elders, and all these folks, the leaders in the temple, they would constantly come to Jesus asking him questions. But the thing is they generally did it in front of the crowds. They do it with everybody gathered on because most of the time these people were trying to protect themselves. They were trying to defend their turf, defend their territory. So when they would go to Jesus, they would go to Jesus, initially with one of two goals in mind. We see this earlier in the gospel account. Either one, they're trying to put him in his place, or two, they're trying to show, oh, well, maybe he's not actually different than we are. It's okay, you know, we can all get along. More often it was that first, you know, they're trying to put him in his place, show the people that they're the authorities, that he's not. But Nicodemus doesn't do this. Nicodemus comes to him at night, by himself, hidden. The kind of thing that, well, what kind of stuff do you do in the dark? What kind of stuff do you do at night? You do things that you don't want anybody else to see. Generally stuff that you're ashamed of, right? And this was the thing with Nicodemus. He didn't want people seeing this. So he was not going to defend the territory of the Pharisees. He was actually going to Jesus maybe for the right reasons. One of the keys we have for that, not only does John tell us he goes at night, But when Nicodemus says, we'll read in a moment, he refers to Jesus, he talks to him, he says, Rabbi. And whenever people come at Jesus with animosity in their hearts and call him Rabbi, that's the first thing he jumps on. Why do you call me Rabbi? You know, why do you call me teacher? If you're not going to actually come to listen, why are you calling me teacher? But Jesus doesn't do that. Nicodemus comes to him and says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. So Nicodemus actually sees that Jesus is possibly a good thing and that he's on to something, recognizing that Jesus' teachings are good and right and from God. So we get the idea that maybe just Nicodemus doesn't understand. He says, you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So Nicodemus is coming to him and saying, you know, I understand you are a teacher. You are a teacher from God. You've given all your proofs. Your credentials are right. I'm coming to talk to you. So Jesus answered him. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot come. Again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. First, we need to realize here that Jesus didn't actually answer Nicodemus's question. We need to understand that technically Nicodemus didn't ask a question yet. Nicodemus thought he was just verifying Jesus's credentials. But Jesus takes the idea that truly, if you see me for who I am, you are seeing the kingdom of God. I'm not just a teacher from God. I have the true, full, whole message of God because I am, in fact, God. The same thing that just a few chapters later, this is only chapter 3 in the book of John, that they're going to kill him for. Nicodemus really doesn't get where he's going. He doesn't have that switch yet. So he doesn't understand this reference to the seeing the kingdom of God. He gets stumbled on the idea of being born again. Which the fact is should not stump this Pharisee. Because baptism was actually something that they were familiar with. And baptism was a common practice. Maybe not the baptism that we do, because we do what's called the believer's baptism. We'll get into that in a minute. But they did a baptism of repentance. That's the kind of baptism that they did, that John the Baptizer was calling for in the River Jordan. Come, repent and believe. Repent and be baptized. Have your change of heart and do this as a dedication. Follow God. So Nicodemus shouldn't have been thrown so much at the idea of being born again, because the phrase born again was already associated with this idea of a repenter's baptism. So Nicodemus realizes that maybe what Jesus is saying is not quite so clear. Maybe there's a little more to it than just a simple call like John was giving. Come on out, repent and be baptized, follow God. It's got to be more to it. So Nicodemus, well, up to now Nicodemus has been pretty good. Nicodemus has been coming for the right reasons. He's actually addressing him as a rabbi. He's recognizing that he's a teacher, a true teacher, a man of God. But here, I remember I had a problem with this section as a kid. I didn't quite understand it. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Because as a kid, I didn't get, well, why is he asking this? He knows that that's not possible. Doesn't he understand what Jesus is saying and all this? It was not until I became an adult that I realized, okay, here this is Nicodemus getting a little full of himself. Nicodemus is not actually asking the question that he's asking. Nicodemus is being a smart aleck. Yes, that's exactly what's happening. He is posing something so ridiculous as to say, buddy, you're not making yourself clear. Or at least I'm not understanding you. So he's taking what Jesus is saying in a very literalistic fashion so as to make it sound ludicrous. What do you mean it's raining cats and dogs? I don't see any dogs, I don't see any cats, but my eyes are getting wet. How can a man be born again? How can a man go back into his mother's womb to come back out? Something that's ludicrous, and frankly, even the way he phrased it, he would have never phrased it this way, would it have been in the daylight, in public, in front of other people, because it's something that at that day and time, culturally, they would have found offensive. He was not only being a smart aleck, he was being kind of crude. So Nicodemus has a switch early on here in the conversation. So Jesus answers him, truly, truly, in other words, listen to me. Let me clarify. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay, Nicodemus should definitely be making the tide of baptism. He should have made it at first. But Jesus is making it abundantly clear. But Nicodemus should realize also that this is a little different than the baptism that John the Baptizer was giving and that the prophets before him gave, a repenter's baptism. Instead, this is a baptism that actually transforms. Because it's not just with a water and a change of heart. It's with the water and the Holy Spirit. That there is something new. There is something different. This is a whole different kind of baptism. It is a rebirth of sorts. Jesus goes on. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's probably one of the simplest phrases in the Bible. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But you could go on and on about it and never really get to its full depth. But in short, the flesh does the things of the flesh. The Spirit tends to gravitate towards the Spirit, spiritual. I'm born of the flesh. The word here in the Greek used is sarx. There are three different words that the Greeks would commonly use for flesh, body, things like that. Actually, more than that, but three primary. Sarx is not a good thing. It's not a great thing. Basically, when you'd be talking about dead flesh, dirty flesh, sinful flesh. We actually get our word sarcophagus. Basically that thing that goes around the dead body to hold it. From this word, sarx. Soma would be the more, would be a good word for the body. The living thing, the living body. But Jesus doesn't use that. The things born of the sarx, the things that are created that are born from the dead flesh, from the dirty flesh, the result is they're tainted too. The things born of the Spirit, not just my spirit and not this, oh, I just feel great and I have a wonderful uplifted spirit today. No, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Things that are born of God are godly. This is two different worlds we're talking about. This is where Luther gets his idea of, at the same time, saint and sinner. Familiar with that? We live in this sarx. We live in this body, and so we, as a result, we tend to still gravitate towards the sinful stuff. But we're also living in the renewed spirit, our saintly self that's been baptized into Christ Jesus. And so we crave the things of God. And the two battle each other. until we say goodbye to the Sarks. And we look forward to the resurrection when the Sarks become soma, when the dead flesh becomes alive and made anew again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which was born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. In other words, Nicodemus, get off your high horse and listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm serious. The being born again stuff is the matter of life and death. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. This throws Nicodemus. Nicodemus replies to Jesus. He says, how can these things be? You're talking about being born. You're talking about being born again. You're talking about water and the Spirit. Now you're talking about wind and the trees. I don't understand it, Jesus. You've lost me. And Jesus answers him. He says, are you the teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? So he's kind of putting Nicodemus in his place here. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe it if I tell you heavenly things? We might get a little lost here in the conversation. Other than the whole wind in the trees thing, what earthly has Jesus talked about here? That's when we've actually got to widen our scope a little bit to more than just what we've read here. And one word keys us in on that, and the fact that Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He comes to Jesus by night because during the day, Jesus is giving all kinds of teachings. Not just teachings of heaven, but teachings of how we should love one another. Teachings of how we should live and walk and exist in the world that God gave us. Jesus is healing people. He is making things happen in the physical world that people don't understand. Nicodemus makes reference to those about his signs and wonders that could only be from God. And here Jesus reminds him, you don't understand that stuff. You don't understand the signs and wonders. You don't even understand my teachings of how you should live, much less the teachings of how you should get to heaven. Don't be too judgmental. Jesus is not doing this to send Nicodemus away. Jesus is saying this to truly bring Nicodemus around, to bring him to him. If I have told you the earthly things and you do not believe me, how can you believe if I tell you the heavenly things? Basically, Nicodemus, you need to step away from what you know and just follow me. Just believe. Don't be from Missouri and have me have to prove it to you. You wouldn't understand. Instead, you have to have faith. It's a matter of heart. Jesus goes on, gives him some more explanation. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven. He's talking about himself here. He says, the Son of Man. By the way, that's an Old Testament type name for the Messiah, for the Christ, the one who is the anointed one who is come to save the people from their sins. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, that is, the Son of Man. And now he goes into a reference that may throw you for a moment. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is actually the key to the story for Nicodemus. Because Nicodemus is a good Jew. He knows the teachings of Moses quite well. He remembers that the chosen people of Israel, when they were wandering in the wilderness, over and over just didn't get God's word. They didn't get the simple instruction that he was giving them through Moses and Aaron. And so when Moses went up to pray on the mountain, the people went into apostasy. Basically, they fell away from the teachings in a very short time, and they started wanting all kinds of other stuff. They started giving Aaron a difficult time. They started giving all of the leaders, the elders, a hard time. They started demanding things that were ungodly. And God had it about up to here with them. And so as a result of their unbelief and their unfaithfulness and their physical acts of defiance, God sent a physical curse upon them. And from the ground arose snakes. Vipers, actually. Started biting the people. People started dying. There was no cure found among them. The only cure was God told Moses, okay, make a bronze snake. Put it on a pole with a cross member. Oh yeah, looks something like that. And put this snake, yeah, just like the vipers that bit, up there, and then hold it up so the people can look upon it. And as their eyes fall upon it, if they have the faith to be cured this way, just all they've got to do is cast their eyes upon the cross and they'll be healed. It's from Exodus. Every good Jew would have known this story. And they would have known to tie it back to Genesis 3:15, when God promises to Eve that her offspring will crush the head of the serpent. Jesus is telling Nicodemus exactly who he is. Jesus is telling Nicodemus that this sign that people just had to have the faith to follow Moses, the faith to put their eyes upon the cross, the faith to trust in God that he would save them, that he would take care of the rest. A full and total miraculous physical recovery from poison and from death would come from this spiritual renewal. And then this verse that we all know so well, Genesis 3:15. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's the message that Nicodemus needed. That's the message that you and I need. We call out for signs and wonders. We call out for proofs. And yes, it is good that we recognize the signs of God around us and that we look out into the world, we do recognize and we see God's handprint upon creation. But frankly, we don't see that unless we see Jesus. Each and every one of us is broken. Each and every one of us is like Nicodemus. Each and every one of us is like those Israelites who wandered through the wilderness and again and again and again wanted to stray off the path. You and I are full of sin. We do it every day. We may not go out and kill our neighbors, but we don't love like we should. We don't lift people up like we should. We don't turn to God and trust in him for all good things. The list goes on and on. But God knew this from before time. And he provided the way out. That our physical births weren't going to do it. That instead we needed to come to him, come to his son Jesus Christ through the water and the words of baptism and receive the Holy Spirit. And only through the Holy Spirit can we put our eyes upon Jesus. It's only through the Holy Spirit that day to day we can start to not be those show me state kind of people, and instead be people that just walk in the light, walk following Jesus to the Father. We don't know whether Nicodemus got it. We think we do, because there are some other references later on that he got it and he followed. But Nicodemus was no different than many other early church people. He didn't get it at first, but eventually he learned to follow Jesus. Each and every one of us battles with has a battle of conscience with faith. The stuff of God doesn't make sense. Free grace just doesn't make sense to us. We think we have to earn it, because we certainly recognize the stuff that we do wrong, and we don't understand how that can be taken away from us without having for us to go and do right. But it is given to us freely, completely. You are redeemed. You are saved. You are forgiven. Praise be to God. Amen.